Today we would like to start with the last chapter of the dynamic systems section. And we are treating time delays. So physically that is very intuitive. Let's say you have a neuron here sending out a spike to some other neurons coming in here, and that is a certain distance. The signal travels with a certain velocity, so my state at some time x of t sending out a signal will take a certain time, which we will denote with t. T is a time delay. And if t is relatively large, then the state of the other neuron is affected only at a later time. So that means we have, or in our case we are using, I think, y as a variable. For example, d by dt of y of t. Now we're doing that with the scalar variables, but we could use many different type of variables, so it would be a vector. Is some function f of y of t. There might be some instantaneous interaction, and it might also be a function of the system at a previous time, because we needed a certain time delay t in order for the signal to arrive there. And so we are, up to now, we considered only the case t equals 0, big T, capital T, and now we're considering the finite time effect. And in this case, if you look as a function of time, we need to specify the initial addition condition from minus t to 0. So we have a certain initial condition, which is a function, phi of t, y of t, because if we want to start at t equals 0 to integrate this this integral differential equation, we need to know y of t at a certain time t, but we also need to know it when it was where it was at t minus t. And if you don't know that, we cannot specify the equation of motion is not specified. So in order to specify the equation of motion, we have an initial function phi of t. So this is very different to the differential equation without time delay, where we only had an initial condition. We had to specify the time t equals 0, which is the value, and then everything was determined. Here we have to specify a full initial function. And as I said the last time, differential equation with time delays can be very difficult numerically and analytically, so we'll just make a few examples that you get a feeling and how these equations behave. So the simplest example is a linear coupling, y dot equals minus a of y. Or so now I'm putting here explicitly the time t, a of t. So that is nothing special, just a damped decay. And minus b t minus capital T. So the b y of t minus t. And we want to consider the case a and b larger than 0. So we would say naively, well, we just have a damped system. Y is always getting smaller here, and also smaller here, but that of course depends where y was there for small time delay. So there's a damping, and we expect that for small t, that the system just does something like that. Y of t goes down with time. Because for small time delay, this is like a damped system, so we'll just go to zero. So then we are interested in the stability. For example, we are looking now at the long time behavior. And the question is, can the time delay make here a qualitative difference? So if t is large, will the system still be damped, as we expect that for small t? Or is there a critical t that, so this is t much, much smaller than a and b, is there a critical t that maybe it does something like that? So for t much, much larger, let's say a and b, the typical time constant of 1 over a, you know, a and b. So that is a question. Maybe that happens, maybe this doesn't happen. In order to examine this question, we asked whether the trivial solution is still stable or not. Y of t identical 0 is stable. Because that would be the long time behavior for small time delay. So we do, for that, we do an ansatz. Namely, we consider that y of t equals y0 times e to the lambda t. And put this ansatz into the linear equation. That is possible because it's a linear equation. And if lambda is negative, it is stable. So if the real part of lambda is negative, then it's stable. And if we put that in, it's very simple. On the left-hand side, y dot, we get a lambda equals, maybe I put lambda times y0 e to the lambda t equals minus a e to the lambda t minus b e to the lambda t minus capital T. And now I can divide by e to the lambda t, and I get an equation for lambda. So lambda equals minus a minus b e to the minus lambda capital T. So with this ansatz, I have a solution. It may not be the only solution of my differential equation. And now we'll consider real and imaginary part. So we'll say lambda equals p plus iq, where p and q are real numbers. And so I can separate that into real and imaginary part. So then I have, well, let's say, put it like here, p plus iq equals minus a minus b e to the minus lambda p times cosinus qt plus I sinus qt. If I just substitute this here, they can separate real and imaginary part. So I have p equals minus a minus b e to the minus lambda p cosinus q times q. And zero, no, not zero, q equals minus b e to the minus lambda p sinus q times t. So I'm interested in the real solution, in the real part, and I would like to see, is there a possibility, so how does this look as a function of capital T? So if I look now, as a function of P, the left-hand side and the right-hand side, let's say for Q equals 0, for Q equals 0, we would have the following: P equals minus Q minus B e to the minus lambda P. And I've did everything here incorrectly, as you see. My lambda, I've substituted my lambda. There's a capital T here. If I substituted that lambda, that's lambda my P. And there was a P. Yeah, that was correct. And so then as a function of P, what you see, this one minus is, I should have done it like that, is something like that here. And P I should with a graphical solution I substitute in a different way. It's easier if I do it differently. One moment.
Your Q doesn't have a minus in the nodes.
Sorry, what?
In the nodes, the Q doesn't have a minus. Is that wrong?
Minus B. So plus B.
Why? Well, there's a minus. It's fine, right? There should be a plus. In my notes, there's not a minus. Oh, in my notes, you see. Oh, that's correct. There's a minus here. So I write it a different way. For small q, I will put it on the other way side. It's easier. B e to the minus tp equals minus q, or the q is very small, minus p. And then you see p, one moment, p minus b minus q. Was then it's Q. Oh. P plus A.
P equals minus A.
Exactly. There was an A, not a Q. So that's why I was here. Okay, now we have it. Exactly. So P is negative. If Q is very small, this is something positive. This is positive, so it's minus A minus B. So P is surely negative somewhere here, actually, for small t. P as a function of t. Now, if t becomes larger, then this cosinus could, in principle, become negative, because q times q become negative. And so this might become positive, and eventually p might become positive. at a critical Tc. So when does this happen? And if this happens, we have to solve these two equations simultaneously. So this happens when P equals 0. So P equals 0. This solution is given if A equals minus B cosine Q times capital T. And P equals 0. So we have here Q equals minus B sinus qt. I've calculated here everything with a minus, huh? It's wrong here. Hmm? So now we can take the square of that. So this is just minus b 1 minus sine squared of qt, and plug that in, and then we have that that q, this is q here, not a, no, this is a, I'm always considering a, that we have a equals minus b times 1 minus sinus is q over b, q over b squared. That is b squared minus a squared. Somehow q, nine, b squared minus q squared, sorry. So I can put it on the other way around, take the square, and then I have q squared, so I take it on the other way around, is b squared minus a squared. Q squared equals b squared minus a squared, or the solution, if I solve that for q squared. So I see the following. For I need a, capital A, smaller than B, then I have a solution for Q. And this, by the, so this crossing here occurs only if A is smaller than B. If you go to our differential equation, means only if the term with time delay is stronger than the term without time delay, then I will have such kind of crossing, which makes sense. If the term without time delay is dominant, so A is dominant, then the damping to zero is dominant. And I can only get rid of the damping and a unstable solution if B is larger. So if A is smaller than B, then there exists a Tc such that P larger than 0 for T larger than Tc. And I can calculate this Tc by solving here, for example, inverting that by R cosinus or R cos, or I can solve also here. If I solve this one, I get R cos cosinus Tc. I know how large Q is. Q is given by this value. So I can plug in this Q here. Then I have only A and B, and I can solve for T. And if I do that, T equals Tc equals R cos cosinus of minus A over B. Everything divided by Q, and Q given by B squared minus a squared. And the full solution you have to do numerically, and if you try that actually, that is a very interesting exercise, you will find that extremely difficult numerically. So while normal solution is very simple to find in a normal differential equation, this is a very simple differential equation, and it's a very interesting exercise. Try to solve that numerically, and you will see you will have to go extremely high precision to find the correct solution. Since this is very, very subtle, depending on the initial conditions.
But this was an example. These measures for the critical T is just for this type of the function that you have defined for the y. That is an exponential.
Yeah, so what I have not proven is that this ansatz is exhaustive, that there might not be other solutions which might give a different result. But since this is a y dot of t, this is a linear equation, this is very minus a minus b y of t minus capital T. For a normal differential equation, we have theorems which say that this exponential ansatz is a generic solution. Of course, for a differential equation with time delay, if we don't have the theorem, in principle, there might be other solutions. But in this case, it's a stability analysis. So you can always argue that this ansatz should be fine for a very small t. So for small deviation from zero, that should be fine. And if you look at the full spectrum, then you'll find the following. As a function of delay time, the real part of the lambda will be like that. This is our Tc. This is p. So that's the real part. And you will find, actually, that here, that Q has the following form. It is zero for a certain time. So we have the solution is y of t equals proportional to e to the minus lambda, e to the minus p times t times cosinus e to the I q minus I q t. So you find just a normal damping behavior up to a certain t. Then we find oscillatory damped behavior because we are still damped. P is negative, so we are still really damping going to zero, but as an oscillating behavior. And then we will find a critical behavior where we have oscillation, and then we'll have unstable behavior. So this is a typical bifurcation. So we didn't look at this one, but from if you try to see this, actually, to find when is Q equals zero, you can look at this two differential equation together. So you have to do exactly the opposite. We looked at the case where P was zero, but now you can also look at the case where Q equals zero and then solve for the critical P. So the first lessons we see here is, well, we have a differential equation which is damped, but the time delay can make this damping become unstable. So instead of being normally damped going to zero, you get oscillatory behavior. So time delay can make really, and often does, a qualitative difference. And the second lesson we learn is, if the time delay is small, the behavior really doesn't change very much. Because if the time delay is equal to small, you can forget about the time delay. This is nearly normally the case. And here, a little time delay makes oscillation, which is already something new, and a big time delay gives you unstable behavior. So that is typical, that for small time delay, really nothing new happening. Now let's take another example. We take a very simple differential equation, d by dt of y of t equals minus y of t minus capital T. So this is like before, just we have just a equals 0. So that means time delay is dominating everything. And b we have just put to 1. And now we consider not before, we were concentrating on the long-term behavior, assuming that the initial condition or the initial function doesn't really make a difference. Now we concentrate what happens with when we consider different initial functions. So we want to see as a function of time t, we have a time delay capital T, how do we construct the function for different initial functions. So let's assume we have here initial function phi of t, which is constant. So phi of t equals 1. So very simple case. And we solve this equation for a constant initial function. That is very simple. We can do that by integrating. So phi of y of t minus y of 0 is, of course, per definition, just the integral over dt prime y dot of t prime. That is just definition of the integral. And here we just can put our differential equation equals minus 0 from t dt prime y of t prime minus t. Now, this one is now given since for t, 2t, if I start at any time t between 0 and capital T, then this one is given by the initial condition. So that is for t smaller capital T, time delay, is nothing else than minus integral from 0 to t dt prime times 1, because that is my initial function. And so this is nothing else than minus t. That means our function looks initially in the following way. I've written here down, that was not very good. So it's a function of t. I have my time delay t, 2t, minus t. I have a constant function here. At time t equals 0, I start at 0, and then I go down. Now I can repeat that. Because I started 1, sorry, I go down. And I'm going down exactly, or doesn't, somewhere. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, of course, it's continuous. So now I can do exactly the same. I have, looking at this equation now, for t in this interval. And this is the way, actually, you have to integrate numerically your differential equation with time delay. You have to always to do it interval per interval. In the first interval, you use what you know about the initial function. In the second interval, you know what you use what you calculated before. So for t smaller, small t smaller 2 capital time delay, then we have y of t minus y of capital T in this case is the integral of minus from capital T to t, t t prime. And this one is here 1 minus t. Is that correct? No. 1 minus capital, there's a capital T missing here. I think it's always difficult. Okay, let's do it. It's a step in between. T prime minus capital T. So let's write it exactly so that we have here y of t equals 1 minus t. So, and this is then y of t minus t prime. Equals integral from capital T to t dt prime. And if I do it correctly, I have here 1 minus t prime plus t. Oh, did I do it correctly here? No. Capital T is fine. I put it capital T, sorry. T prime minus... Why do I have it here in the opposite? T minus T prime, yeah. Like that. Is that correct? T minus T prime, because that is just shifted by T. Yeah. If I shift it by T, I have T minus T prime. So I can integrate that. This is linear. This is a quadratic. So if I integrate that, this becomes T squared minus capital T squared half. If I have T equals capital T, it's 0. So that is 0 at this point here. So that means my equation has a certain value, and then it goes quadratically up. T minus capital T squared. What did I do incorrectly?
T minus capital T minus T squared minus T capital
T. That is... What did I do? Minus T minus capital T, sorry. That is a quadratic term here. I integrate the quadratic term. That is T squared, T prime. That is, the integral is T squared, half. That is from this part. And here it's minus T minus T. It's correct, yeah. So I have a linear and a quadratic term. So maybe this is not exactly correct here. So I have a linear term, which is negative. And then I have a quadratic term, which is here. So I will have here a linear term. But then I also have a quadratic term, which is positive. So I will have here something like that. And so what I see is that in generally, I have discontinuity here. I have a discontinuity not in the function, but in the derivative. And here I have a discontinuity in the second derivative. And it becomes smaller and smaller. So at t equals 0, there's a discontinuity in y dot. At t equals t, there's a discontinuity in y second dot. And if you go on, at t equals 2t, there's a discontinuity in y three dot. So the effect of the initial condition will, for all times, show you that the effect will be that the solution will not be analytic, has discontinuities, non-analytic points, but these non-analyticities, where you cannot expand in a Taylor expansion, will become weaker and weaker as longer you go in the time. So the effect of the initial function will somehow be washed out to a certain extent for longer and longer time. But purely mathematically speaking, will be always there in higher and higher orders derivatives. So as a next example, yeah? That there's a discontinuity at y dot. Discontinuity at t equals 0. The first derivative has a jump because it makes a knot. And at t equals capital T, the second derivative makes a jump, but the first derivative not, it's smooth. And then you can continue like that. At t equals 2t, these two are continuous. There's no jump, but there's a jump in y3 then, if you continue to do that, and so on.
And it is something special with this kind of equation? Or?
Well, the every you this is also special on the initial condition, of course. You could imagine initial condition where does not happen. But generically, you have to expect something similar, because you are dependent here in yt on something which happened on an earlier time, which may have no causal relation to what is happening now. So you might expect generically to have these kind of discontinuities. But how strong they are and exactly in which how they look will depend on your differential equation, but generically you have to expect that something like that might happen. Now, this was a smooth initial function. Of course, if your initial function is not smooth, but let's say your initial function is like that, is not smooth, then you will have more discontinuities further on. But if it's a random initial function, you will have something like noise. So next, or last chapter we'd like to finish it today is to show that you might really, things might depend on the initial functions. So this is another example. And y of t equals y of t minus capital T times y of t minus 1. So this is a nonlinear equation. It's really very strongly time delay, because everything depends on the time delayed. It's then modulated with a nonlinear function of y. And we may consider y of t, for example, equals 1 for t equals 0. So we start with at 0. Now, let's see how the solution looks like. So here we have 1, because we start with that. That means we always have y dot at 0 equals 0, because we have this here. So we start with 1, and initially we remain with 1. And in this case, really, it's very funny, because in this case, it doesn't depend on the initial function. Because whatever initial function we have here, it is always multiplied here by 0. So in this case, the solution is always y of t equals 1. So that is a very special case, as you see. Sometimes it can happen that the dependence on the initial function is very weak or non-existent. Of course, this is a very special case. It's constructed in this way. But sometimes, so the dependence on the initial function can be very strong or weak. This is an extreme case where it is very weak. Of course, in practice, it might be just intermediate between strong and weak, and it's constructed in a way. So that here, for this case, if phi of t equals 0, so phi of 0 equals 1, there's no dependence on the initial function. But of course, this will be very different if phi of 0 is different from 1, and then we will have very different solutions. So in this business of time-delayed differential equation, there are no general theorems like in an ordinary differential equation, and you have to look at every equation very carefully how they're behaving.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
How did you say that yt is equal to 1?
Well, y dot of 0 is 0, obviously.
At point t.
At y dot of 0, it's at point 0, is 0. So at any time afterwards, y of t equals, if you do a Taylor expansion, 0 plus y dot delta t, so delta t is small, y dot is 0, you start at 1, you add 0, so you remain at 1. So if you're not adding anything, you stay where you are. And if you stay where you are, then this term always cancels to 0. And in this case, you have no dependence on the initial function apart on this point equals 0. This is really a constructed example, but it's an example which tells you you really have to look at every of these time-delayed differential equation one by one. So the last example, maybe I just leave that for you to think of that at home. It's extremely weird, which happens very seldom. Non-constant time delays. This is not very physical. So in practice, time delays are constant because they are transmission times between one and the other unit. But if you consider such kind of differential equation, d by dt equals y of what? T minus y of t minus 1, for example, plus 1/2. So the time delay is not constant anymore. The time delay is depending on the value itself. So this is, of course, a very extreme example of a time delay which is non-constant, and then everything you know about differential equations is not valid anymore. And, for example, you can have, for the same initial condition, you can have two solutions. You can show that there's more than one solution for exactly the same initial function or condition, actually, at this point. And so things are really very weird, and this happens really not very often in practice, but it's just more an academic curiosity. So here there are more than one solution for identical initial functions. And that is because the time delay is not function. So self-consistently, one solution has one time delay, and another solution has another time delay, which self-consistently can be satisfied for different solutions.
Do you know an example of the system?
Yeah, this one here. So if we consider, for example, for this system, for the initial function, which is the following. Now we have to specify the initial function for all times because y can be in principle everything. So the initial function is here between minus 1 and 0, and it is 0 here, and it is 1 here. So the initial function is 1 for t smaller than minus 1, and 0 for t between minus 1 and 0. And then you have two solutions, which, let's say, between t between 0 and 2. And one is y of t equals 1/2, t half, sorry, and y of t equals 3t half. So you can look at that and see that these two solutions satisfy both these initial conditions, functions, and these equations. And they are very different solutions. It's very simple to show because you just plug that in. Y dot, I mean, you can just show, for example, here, y dot is here 1/2. So you have 1/2 equals y of t minus 1, minus 1/2. So that is 0 equals 1/2 here. And if you have done that correctly between 0 and 2, so minus 1 is 1. And so I subtract maximal 1. So it equals 0 plus 1. That is for this solution. And for this solution, I subtract more. So I go to this initial condition. So we will also have some exercises here on time delayed differential equation, very physical example. One is a car following model. So you're driving in your car behind another car, and you have to you would like to keep a certain distance, and then you have to follow on the velocity changes of the other car. But of course, you have certain reaction time. You need maybe half a second to react, and the reaction time naturally translates into a time delayed differential equation. So that's very typical. If you have reaction times, you go to time delayed differential equations. And this car following model is a very physical example of that. So you need to get some handle. So the next time, Dimitri, maybe some of you know that, he would like to present you the next topic in chapter 3, complexity information theory. Dimitri likes information theory very much, I think. And so instead of me, he will give you the class. He is a very good expert in information theory. Yeah, so that's it.